Hi, this is Julie.
This is Liz.
This is Sheila.
This is Monica.
This is Leanne.
We are the Satellite Sisters.
You are listening to Satellite Sisters to Go.
You are listening to Satellite Sisters. Happy Cinco de Mayo, Julie. What are you doing to celebrate down there in Dallas, Texas?
I was thinking of some guacamole, Leanne.
Yeah,
having
sure.
Some guacamole, guilt-free guacamole. That's what I think I'm going with today.
Sort of, you know, for me, celebrating Cinco de Mayo was a little bit like the non-Irish celebrating St. Patrick's Day. So I don't want to overextend myself. I don't want to pretend it's my holiday, the holiday of my people. But I'm going to make some tacos tonight. And
good. Good
there
thinking,
there will be some green chili sauce. So I'm looking forward to that. So that's what we're doing here. We are the Satellite Sisters. Thank you for joining us. Hey, we know we have some new listeners. Mary, singling you out. You came to us for the Outlander recap. You've stayed. You've enjoyed the show. Thank you so much for discovering Satellite Sisters. Every week we have new listeners. If you need some background on who's who and what's what and what's happening, I suggest just spending a little bit of time at satellitesisters.com. There's some, some video pieces there. There's some bios of the sisters. There's some news stories. If you're interested, Mary. I mean, I know that's a lot to ask of a new listener.
I know. That's you want her to write a research paper on us?
No, I just, you know, I feel like sometimes someone like Sheila comes on the air. That's confusing for new.
Yes. Yes, she is. She's confusing to us. So, and we've lived with her our whole lives.
I mean, when you hear her story about how could a half an hour in the post office completely break her down? But if you have some background material on Sheila, you'll understand that. So that it's totally par for the course. All right. So we are going to talk about Outlander today. Don't worry. We're going to get to that. Julie has some Tuesday trends. I bought a car. Going to tell you which one.
Oh, good,
yeah,
good.
Bought a car. But we have some serious news stories we're going to cover on the Tuesday show. Sheryl Sandberg's husband, David Goldberg, died unexpectedly in a weird accidental death. Julie has a story about roommate of the year. And then we have to find out what is happening in Garland, Texas. And Julie is on the ground there in Dallas, Texas. But first, Julie, I know there's some disappointment about Princess Charlotte Elizabeth Diana, right?
Who you mean? What's her name? Princess what's her name? That's what I'm going to call her. I'm so mad that they didn't pick Alice. I can't even tell you.
It was never their choice. You understand that, right? It was the people speculating. That is meaningless. It's not
like naming it after giving her Charlotte because it sounds like Charles. I mean, really? Okay. Really? Just.
Can I tell you this? I don't know if you know this, but Mom used to tell me that she wanted to name me Charlotte, that she loved the name. She loved the name Charlotte, but the dad forced her to name me the stupid name Leanne, which they had already tried to name our sister Elizabeth, and it was rejected. And so, like, I could have been Charlotte. So I was very happy. It's always been a name I've loved because I thought that's my real true name. To this name I've been saddled with.
Your inner spirit, you're a Charlotte.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, it is a lovely name.
It
and
is.
She's a beautiful baby.
Yes.
I'm still,
I understand
still not over it.
Okay.
I'm not over it. I just thought there'd be a world of merchandise with the name Alice on it. And it was going to make this grandmother very, very happy because, of course, I have Alice as a granddaughter. So there you go.
You know, it did make me think, too, just hearing the name Diana. It made me think about, like, what kind of grandmother Diana would have been. She would have really set the bar fairly high for your people.
You think?
Yes. It would have been hard to compete with her, just as it is for every pregnant woman now to compete with Kate Middleton.
I know.
So
I hope she and the baby, I hope Kate is in her yoga pants, in bed, relaxing. And I hope the baby is doing well.
Yes, it sounds like she's going to take quite a bit of time off to be with the kids, which is very nice. But we're moving on now to what is happening in Garland, Texas, Julie. That whole story about the cartoon contest and the shooting, I almost don't even believe it. There's something hoax-like about it, yet I understand two people are dead, but I just can't wrap my head around it. What is happening?
Well, that's I'm glad you mentioned that, Leanne, and I'm glad that we decided to talk about this because it really is a real situation. And as of this morning, ISIS is claiming credit for the terror attack in Garland, Texas.
Which is incredible to me. I know. Again, that also seems like convenient and fake. I don't know how to explain it.
No, but it is totally real. So there is this organization called the American Freedom Defense Initiative. And for some reason, okay, it seems like a crackpot organization. They put up a $10,000 prize and they were having a Mohammed cartoon contest. And this was in direct response to a pro-Islam event that was held at the same center, the Curtis Caldwell Center in Garland, Texas.
Oh, really? Oh.
In January. So this was... Okay, so if you're, you know, the American Freedom Defense Initiative was trying to make a provocative statement, and they wanted to respond in a very provocative way to what they perceived were an anti-American event that had been held in Garland, Texas. So they put up this $10,000, prize money for something that's completely offensive. So I understand why people around the country think that this is just Texas. It's like some crackpot situation.
Right.
But you have to realize that the two attackers, one of whom was known by the FBI to have contacts with radical Islam and Al-Qaeda, they showed up at this event in Garland, Texas, and they were in body armor. They had automatic weapons. Now, and this, the Curtis Caldwell Center is owned by the school district, Leanne. And so when the school district got wind that they were going to have this, you know, outrageous event there, they insisted that they hire extra security. So they, you know, they spent all this, the American Freedom Defense Initiative had to put in all this extra security. But these attackers came and they shot one security guard that didn't have any weapons. And fortunately, Leanne, there was a traffic cop, okay, who has not been identified because for his own safety, he doesn't want to be identified. But he was a traffic cop. He was working this off-duty assignment, you know, and he was the one that shot and killed these two attackers.
Because there were 200. It's a bizarre story.
I know. And there were 200 people in the Curtis Caldwell Center attending this event. And it was like this one traffic cop, he was the sole line of defense and he took them both out. Wow. So that was amazing, you know, and he is the real hero here. But now, Leanne, because this center is owned by the school district, they have like 20 graduation events scheduled to be held in the center. And so now there's a great deal of concern. You know, the people don't want to have school graduation programs there because they're concerned about further backlash. And this organization, you know, is saying, oh, well, this is freedom of speech and, you know, we have the right to do this. But it is a very serious situation. Yeah, it's not just some crackpots in Texas, that's what people want to say. Probably was your conclusion earlier.
Well, there was just something suspicious about the whole setup. And it didn't seem like they were actually asking for this kind of response, which they apparently, you know, and they got it. But as I started to hear the details, I did not know the gunmen were dead. So I really thought, like, this sounds like a setup. There's just something very suspicious about this. And then I heard that the gunmen were dead. So I was like, okay, well, I don't think you could get anybody to sign up for that gig. But that's a terrible
situation. And now,
would
you want to go to a graduation ceremony in that?
No,
I mean, it's, you know, it has now become, they have, you know, created this lightning rod, but I think everyone, you know, as of today has a lot of concern that now this Garland, Texas, which is a suburb or, you know, it's a community just north of Dallas, that this is now sort of, you know, the epicenter of ISIS attacks in the United States.
Okay.
I know. I'm on this local story. I'll keep you posted. And that was one amazing brave cop.
Right.
Who, again, that wasn't, he's a traffic cop. You know, he's not the, you know, this is, But he was obviously well trained, and he obviously prevented the loss of life at this event.
Yeah.
You know, it was going to be some kind of slaughter in there. So,
boy. All right. Well, another bizarre story over the weekend was the death of David Goldberg, 47, the CEO of SurveyMonkey, but also the husband of Sheryl Sandberg. And his details of that kind of slipped out, that he died suddenly Friday night. And then yesterday, the cause of death was revealed, that he was exercising on a treadmill. And it sounds like he either collapsed on the treadmill or just fell off the treadmill, hit his head, and died.
I know, Lee. And then apparently nobody found him for a while. But I mean, how many times have you been on a treadmill and tripped, or, you know, or you're not paying attention, or you don't turn the machine off correctly? I mean, that is a very common thing to stumble on a treadmill. So.
You know, last week, I was working out with a friend of mine who is a trainer. She wasn't training me, but we were just in the pool together. And she was reciting a list of clients that she was working with that had hurt themselves on treadmills. And she said, I'm working with a bunch of clients that are recovering from injuries. This one hurt her knee falling off a treadmill. And I said last week, I don't go on treadmills anymore because they freak me out. Oh my gosh. It is my worst nightmare. I emailed you and Liz yesterday when the news came out, like, this is my worst nightmare. Like being home alone in a gym, in a hotel gym, everything about it. And, you know, I just really seeing the pictures, they have young kids. Oh, it was very sad. And he sounded like a super supportive partner for her. And
She talks about him. She said this, you know, in her book, Sheryl Sandberg's book, Lean In, she said the single most important decision that she's ever made and the best decision she's ever made in her life was selecting Dave as her life partner. You know, that when you talk about careers and you talk about, you know, should you take one job or another, you know, Sheryl said that, you know, that it was her decision to marry Dave Goldberg, that was it. So.
And he seemed to be universally well-liked in Silicon Valley, which I don't think is very common, and just really a lot of supportive posts about him after his death. But yeah, that was just stunning. And I heard today on the news there are 19,000 emergency room visits based on treadmills.
Really?
Per year. Yeah. Jeez. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Gosh. So that is just a super sad situation.
Yeah.
I think that's it. I'm off the treadmill for good. You know, we had a dad at our school like 6 years ago who was cleaning the gutters and like fell off the ladder and died. You know, when deaths like that, they get to you, don't they? Like,
yeah, they
just
do, because you realize that life is so short.
Yeah.
It's fleeting. And that
it's so stupid. Like, that's just a stupid way to die. You know, not, I mean, it's not, you know, we didn't, you're not fighting anything. It's just, it's just a terrible way to die. Terrible way to die. All right. That's a
well, Leanne, I wanted to end on a happier note.
Okay.
And I just saw a news story. It made me laugh. I admit it for all the wrong reasons, but, today there was an arrest was made in South Carolina, a very pretty blonde co-ed who attends the University of South Carolina. And she is going to be she is not going to be winning the Roommate of the Year award because apparently she was trying to poison her roommates. And she was doing so by spitting in their food that they, you know, in the communal food. And then she, when that was not.
That doesn't seem that effective.
Oh, well, then she.
It's gross, but it's not deadly, I don't think.
Then she started putting Windex in their food. Oh, yeah. So and again, because this is the age where everything is recorded, they have recordings of her spitting and putting Windex in her roommate's food. So, but when you go online and you look at this girl, you know this is going to be a made-for-TV movie. You can just see that. So,
what was her issue with the roommates? Like, why was she doing it? Was she just sick? Was she just
crazy?
Well,
apparently she had some issues with them. And, no food. She just confessed. She did confess to it when she was confronted with the video of her spitting and putting Windex in the food. So, but I think she's going to have a big career, Leanne, because she's cute and they'll make this into a movie.
There's a celebrity rehab in her future.
Yes, I think so. I think so. So, okay, there you have it.
Okay.
You just move out. You don't have to try to poison your roommates. Okay. If you're having like roommate issues, that's what you do. You move out. Okay. That's.
Or you just stop talking to your roommate. Just avoid them. Don't be in the house with them. Again, Windex doesn't even seem that threatening. It feels like you would have to drink a lot of Windex to actually.
Well, I mean, I think, Leon, if you're going to poison your roommates and you're trying to do it over time.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
and see, you didn't want to just, you know, out and out kill them, but just make them sick and make them suffer.
Okay.
That you might. Choose. Okay. I don't know. I haven't really given much thought to poisoning roommates, but that's sort of off the top of my head. But again, they'll be in a made for TV movie. You'll be reading about this woman. She'll be in People or Us magazine, no doubt. So we'll get all the details.
Okay. All right. Well, I have a follow-up story to something I mentioned a couple weeks ago. I was talking about our trials and tribulations as we went to go buy a car where we couldn't get anyone to give us a test drive. A couple of cars that we actually wanted to buy. We went to three dealerships, two Fiat dealerships and a Mini Cooper dealership, and could not actually get a test drive at any of these. In fact, the salesman seemed shocked that we insisted on test driving a car before we bought it. So I got a lot of sympathy from that. A lot of people suggesting I just go online or buy through Costco. All good. But, you know, my husband is a driver. He likes to drive the cars. There's just no way he's going to buy a car that he has not driven. So this weekend, Julie, we successfully bought a car. And
successfully
bought another car.
That's like, you have like six now?
We currently have a lot of cars.
There was no trade-in? You didn't do any trade-in?
Well, there's going to be some redistribution of cars. There's going to be some selling of cars.
Okay.
So that is all in the works. Let it be known, we own all our cars. So we own them. We don't believe in leasing or financing. We don't buy a car until we can buy a car. So that being said,
and it is a marvel if you go to Leon's house to watch her family in the morning. They're like, I think they're like six or seven cars parked in a single driveway. And it's like a chess game. They're like, one car goes out, the other car goes in, and there's parking on the street. And you just rearrange all the cars all the time. But it's done effortlessly.
It is.
And with great ability to synchronize, you know, where each car should be.
Yes. So, we have a lot of conversations about who's first up, last out, who's in, who's out, because we have a single lane driveway, a stacked driveway in a 1920s house. So that's it. We currently have five cars for four licensed drivers, but don't worry. We're redistributing selling. But here's the thing. So we went to buy, we were looking at the Volkswagen GTI versus the Cooper S. This is a car that would ostensibly be shared by my 17-year-old son and myself, but with my husband wanting to buy a car that he wanted to drive also. Okay. So it wasn't
that
like,
seems complicated. Lynn.
It is. That's a lot of things to fulfill. You know, there's a lot of different drivers and levels and areas of comfort for that to fit all those parameters. The idea is that like my son would drive it for a year or so, 14 months until he goes to college. And then it would be available for me to drive. And in the meantime, we're going to sell the old minivan. We're going to sell my station wagon that's 10 years old. And we're just going to consolidate our cars. So, you know, again, years in the making talking about this. So but fun and an excellent driving car, those are two important things to my husband. And and then the other important thing, we were looking for a manual car because many years ago I was interviewing for an article at Oprah.com, the head of engineering of Toyota. And we were talking about safety and team driving and distracting. And she kind of offhandedly said to me, she said, well, you know what I'd do if I had a teenage driver? I'd buy him a manual car because they can't text. They can't hold a phone and drive a manual car. And
good thinking.
Really good thinking, right? So brilliant idea. And you know what, Julie? It's probably been a while since you've driven a manual car, right?
Yes.
I have always had manuals except this last car. and my son has a manual, my husband has a manual. Like, you really have to drive the car when you're in, driving
it's
a manual.
Not of any interest to me.
I know.
I'm waiting for the car that drives itself.
I know.
Okay. No, all right.
You have to be fully engaged in driving the car. So long story short, we're looking for a manual car, and those are fewer and far between these days. So this GTI, used GTI pops up, manual, six-speed.
GTI, is that? That's a Volkswagen?
That's a Volkswagen. Okay. It's like the sportier version of the Golf.
Okay.
So
okay.
Again, my husband, not just going to get a Golf, needs the sportier version of
everything.
Even though
he's not really driving, because he has its own car, right?
But he thinks, if it's a fun car, I'll drive it on the weekends. So, you know, again, he wants to be in the mix. So long
right.
story
he's,
short.
He's got to move it in and out of the driveway.
Right.
So he wants to have fun when he's rearranging the cars in your driveway. Okay.
Hey, it's Liz and Leanne here, and we want to thank PROS for supporting this episode of Satellite Sisters. Now, you know, Liz, I've been out and about with my new book, The Marriage Sabbatical. The book is getting rave reviews. I'm very happy. But you know what else is getting rave reviews? My hair, Liz. My hair from PROS is getting rave reviews.
Leanne, I am not surprised. You have been on that PROS hair regimen for quite a while. I mean, you have good hair anyway, but now you have great hair because you've really paid attention to it.
Well, Liz, PROS is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do, from their in-depth consultation to their made-to-order model. And you know what? I love the regimen they have me on. Do I take the hair vitamins every day? Yes, I do. Do I use my shampoo and conditioner made especially for Leanne Dolan? Yes, I do. Do I sometimes use the leave-in conditioner when my hair's really dry? I do. And I even have a pre-scalp thing that they give me. Okay, PROS, you're the boss. I'll take it. You tell me what my hair needs. That sounds good. And here's the thing. It's personalization, Liz. For millions of possible formulas, only one is uniquely Leanne's, okay? And I'm using it. PROS isn't just better for you. It's also better for the planet, Liz. They're a certified B Corp, cruelty-free, and the first and only carbon-neutral custom beauty brand. So, PROS, we love you. I love the photos of my hair. Couldn't be happier.
Photos of your hair. There are people in the photos, too. That's the thing about a book tour. Everybody has their picture taken with Leanne and then post it. So the hair is important.
Couldn't be happier, PROS. PROS is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin. They're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/sisters. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/sisters. And PROS is spelled P-R-O-S-E. pros.com/sisters. Thanks, PROS. Liz, you know we love talking about Framebridge, don't we?
We do. Because there are just so many fun things to frame, Leanne, aren't there?
Right. Anything. You can just upload a digital photo from your phone and they can print it and frame it. And that is a gift right there, a gift people would love getting. But Liz, you recently had quite an exciting Framebridge experience. Would you like to share?
I talked about how when we were at the Bruce Springsteen concert, I was with our brother Dick, his wife Susan, his two kids, and one of the roadies threw us the set list at the end of the show, which was amazing to get the actual set list for the actual concert in Los Angeles. And we're like, oh, yeah, any day now, that's going to be in a place of honor in their home. Sure enough, Leanne, they have already Framebridged it and sent it to us with a picture. So I'll be in Bend next week, so I'll get to see it. But it's just excellent use of the Framebridge resources, the Bruce Springsteen set list.
Fantastic. And this is gift giving season. So if you have a graduation coming up, a wedding, a shower, Mother's Day, Father's Day, look around. I'm sure you have something fun you can frame, and Framebridge can do it for you. It's easy and it's affordable to frame just about anything. You get fair and transparent upfront pricing based on the size of your item. There's a great selection of frames. And as we've said in the past, fast service, free shipping, great for gifts. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Liz, not many things in life give you a happiness guarantee, but Framebridge does. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they will make it right. So if this
but
sounds like...
But you're going to be happy, okay? That's just the Satellite Sisters promise. You're going to be out. You're going to be happy you did it.
See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or see a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything, like a Bruce Springsteen set list. That's framebridge.com. Thanks, Framebridge.
4:30 in the morning before he goes to work. And we can't leave the cars on the street till after 6 a.m. So there is a lot of in and out. So long story short, sees this 2012 GTI, you know, low mileage manual, looks good. So he calls the VW dealership to make sure it's still there. He uses his alias, which is his real first name, James. My husband, as does yours, they both go by their middle names. So when we're out in public with people like that, he just refers to himself as James. So
with people like that, I like that. It would be like card salesman.
Car salesman. People we're never going to see again socially. You know, just, and it's a way to separate when they call the house, you know, he's not an actual friend.
Oh, right. I know. Is James home? Then you know the kind of call you're getting.
Yeah. Okay. So it's not a judgment. It's just we're not engaging with these people on a long-term basis. So we show up. The car's there. So we show up at the VW dealership, my husband and I, because my son has an English paper to write. So he doesn't come. But again, we've already seen this car. We've been looking at cars for years. We show up and the salesperson, my husband says, "Hi, I'm James." And the salesperson looks at the two of us. And you know what he says, Julie? He goes, "Oh, you're not young."
Oh,
dude, that hurts.
That's what he said.
Oh, you're not young. No, we're what?
Ooh. I mean, where did he learn that? Did he get that in some salesman school or something?
I don't know.
First thing you do is offend the customers.
And he's like, then he tried to backtrack when he saw like the stunned look on our faces. He goes, well, you know, usually it's younger people that want a manual two-door car, which I understand, but still, you're not young. Thanks,
okay,
buddy.
Okay, then you have to knock several $1,000 off the price of the car for insulting the customer. No. That's what I think.
Well, we got him back because unbelievably on the VW lot, they had the GTI, which we could drive. And then they also had a Cooper S that someone had just traded in. So we drove.
Now that's a Mini Cooper.
That's a Mini Cooper. Okay. And the S version is the much stiffer race car, you know, sports car version.
Was that the one that was in the movie, The Italian Job?
Yes.
Okay.
And my husband has wanted one since the first Italian Job came out, since he was like 6 years old. He's wanted to own a Mini Cooper. But
I'm engaged in this story, Liam. Yeah. What is it going to be?
So we drive them back to back and, you know, there's not much of a backseat in the Mini Cooper. So I felt good making the salesman sit in the back seat.
Yeah. Cram him in the back. Yeah.
And the Cooper S drives like a go-kart. That's what it's meant to drive. It's super stiff suspension. And you can just, as my other son says, throw it into corners. Oh, it's just really fun. So my husband takes it on this test drive and we get out and he like unfolds himself. The salesman unfolds himself in the back seat. He goes, "I almost wet my pants. I've never been on a test drive like that." I was like, "Oh, who's not young now, buddy?"
Okay. Good, Liam.
But we ended up getting the GTI because my husband said, this car will make you car sick to drive. That's how stiff the suspension is. The interior of the Cooper S, it's not me. I like the Volkswagen interior. It has just enough technology so that my son can like plug his phone in, but not so much that it's distracting. He doesn't know how to drive a manual yet, but that has never stopped us before. So now we have to teach him how to drive the manual.
Oh, you're going to have some driving lessons.
Yeah.
Okay.
So some driving lessons. Yeah. And so, so we're all set, but then the managers, you know, then they start begging for the tens and the customer service. And, you know, we hope you give us a 10 and everything. And I mentioned the young comment. I was like, well,
good
your salesman
you.
Did say we're not young. I mean, And I think I was sensitive because it's the second time last week someone made a similar comment to me. I was at an event. I was emceeing an event last week. I was the moderator, and somebody who works at a magazine that I write for, she's a senior editor there, but I've never met her. And she was, she's like the 30-ish, I guess, tattoos. She was the tattoo generation. So visible tattoos. And she met me. She goes, "Oh, wow. I never would have guessed that was you. I just had a very different picture of you in my mind," which she clearly meant like younger. Like, I was like, ouch.
Wow.
Man.
Wow. I know. It's not easy, Liam. Your older sister. Okay. But I'm just
reclaiming my youth with that Volkswagen GTI. That's what the car I owned when I was 22, living in Jackson Hole. So I don't care.
Okay.
Car salesman. Yeah, I'm just going to buy my youth. I got it. So thank you very much. We are officially If anyone would like a 20-year-old minivan, call me.
Yeah.
Actually, we're going to sell it to a friend of my son's who's a film student. He wants it for gear and stuff like that.
I think you're going to miss that minivan.
We are going to miss it.
Everyone in the family has moved with that.
Darn good car. It holds a lot of stuff. It has been a great car. So that's why we're reluctant to actually give it up. But I think a couple of weeks of moving 100 cars in and out of our driveway will do it.
I know. That's quite a puzzle. I'm tempted to just come to visit with a rental car
just
to see like where you're going to put it.
It's unbelievable.
Well,
okay.
I hope you and your husband and your son enjoy your car. Okay. I don't know how that's going to work because you're all different ages, sexes. But enjoy.
We're all going to enjoy it in our own way. Like my husband's been driving it for 72 hours. We haven't seen it. He had to bring his car into the shop. So he's happily taken the new Volkswagen to the office 3 days in a row. So it'll all be good. We'll get Colin behind the wheel this weekend to learn how to drive a stick.
Okay. Well, Leon, you know, it is Tuesday. We're moving on to trends. And I have a trend that may appeal to your husband. Okay. Because my first trend on Tuesday is here's the next big thing. It's tea time for men.
Okay.
Now just stick with me.
All right.
I know. Don't lose me yet.
Okay.
This is a new crop of specialty tea shops. And what they are doing is they are concocting brews with very obscure tea leaves. They're making like latte style tea drinks. But here's the thing. These shops have an intentionally masculine vibe. I mean, there's one in Venice, California called Gunpowder. Okay. And they have instead of baristas, they have tea sommeliers. Okay. Because tea requires storytelling. They need to tell you where they get the leaves from and how they brew it and, you know, the choices. And they think that the tea time for men is going to, it's going to attract the same type of men who like craft beers or like hand-rolled cigars or, you know, wine might also be attracted to crafted teas. So what do you think?
I'm not so sure about that. I think they're already into like beer and coffee. I don't know if they're going to work tea into their beverage
yeah, see,
consumption.
I mean, but some of the teas are they have one in Venice. It's called a Gunshot Blend. Okay. So this is different than the Bulletproof coffee that Sheila was mentioning this past weekend, but this is a Gunshot Blend and it's made from some Amazonian shrub. And it's got, you know, it's supposed to give you, you know, it's very potent and really give you kind of a kick when you drink it. So
it's still tea, though. I mean, it's still tea, right?
Well, see, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
I mean, tea is slow, right?
Yeah.
It's slow.
Right.
I mean, you know, when you think about it, if you go into one of these tea shops, specialty tea shops, they got to tell you about this. You know, first they got to tell you about all the different teas and they have a wide variety of teas. So it's not going to be like ordering coffee. Then you have to make your choice. Then they have to brew the tea. Then the tea has to steep it. And then you have to sip it. So it seems like it's very time consuming.
Already you just mentioned all those steps. Already I'm out.
No, it's not for you, your zippy little car. They won't have any drive-through tea places. I mean, you couldn't do drive-through.
That would make me crazy. You'd be in that line forever. It'd be worse than In-N-Out. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't know if it will appeal to maybe this is millennial men.
That's true.
Something different than just coffee. You know, they want to go somewhere else with their hot beverages, you know? So, but look around. Leah.
Okay. All right.
Sure you have one in your neighborhood. That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking you have one. So, second big trend. Okay. Frozen shrimp. It's out, Leon. Okay. Just back away from the shrimp cocktail. Okay.
You know what? Give me the details. I saw the headline. I started to read it. I started to gag and I moved on because I like a little frozen shrimp every once in a while. I like those little cocktail-y shrimps. And apparently they're just, plastic? What is in them, Julie? Not shrimp.
No, what they are, they're called the cockroaches of the sea.
Okay.
Okay. Alrighty. I am sorry. This is a Consumer Reports. It was a comprehensive study, 342 different packages of frozen shrimp. Mm-hmm. And they found that 60% of the frozen shrimp had bacteria, like serious levels of bacteria. So, and in many of the samples, a smaller percentage, but some of the samples, also the shrimp had been injected with antibiotics, which of course you don't want. So I guess the shrimp were so sick before they froze them that they gave them a little antibiotic.
To perk them up
before that. So essentially just frozen shrimp. The headlines are frozen shrimp are totally disgusting.
Okay.
And there's nothing I love more than a shrimp cocktail.
I know.
It's like it's one of my favorite things. Like
I know.
The cold shrimp, the saucy sauce. Oh, I just love it all.
Or so I buy the little shrimps to make like a shrimp bluey salad on Friday night, you know, because they're just a lot cheaper than the other shrimp. And now we know why, because they're
frozen. They're cockroaches of the sea. That's it.
Julie, did you see that post on our Facebook page when you mentioned the guinea pigs, eating guinea pig? And just someone just posted that picture of that adorable guinea pig.
I know, Julie. I know, but it's the guinea pig discussion carries on, Leanne. Some people are like, when in Rome, you've got to do this.
That's true. That's a personal choice.
And then, you know, this is the national dish of Peru. Do not, you know, be open. Be aware of where you're going. And we even have a video of Anthony Bourdain eating a guinea pig.
I love that show. I love his show.
I know. It looks pretty good. It looks like spare ribs, but except for the little feet. But I don't know how you're going to tell if you're getting fresh shrimp versus frozen shrimp. You know, I mean,
I guess I'll just never buy those little shrimp again, you know, and then it really has to be
fresh. Yeah, or even those big bags of shrimp.
Right. I know.
Frozen shrimp.
No. I like having those on hand just for a quick dinner. Oh, no. It really bummed me out, this headline. Because I enjoy shrimp. Mm. Okay. Well, I wish we all lived closer to the Gulf. Where's the best shrimp in the world?
I know.
Lynn. I know. I miss good shrimp. All right, Julie, we didn't have this on the list, but you're talking about food and trends. And I noticed a couple things this weekend in the paper about like Mother's Day gifts, you know, the usual, a lot of perfume ads, you know, buy your mom some, you know, makeup with a special bag included, flowers, jewelry, the usual things. But I noticed two marketers were really trying to sell mom on unusual gift ideas. One was like, buy your mom a recliner. what is that? That just seemed like really a stretch. And then the other one was a big ad from Honey Baked Ham. Buy your mom a ham. She doesn't want a ham. She's going to end up having to cook that ham.
Our mom would have liked a Honey Baked Ham.
For Mother's Day? No. Moms love ham, but I don't, that's a grocery item. You cannot gift a grocery item.
Right.
Let that be known. Like 3 years in a row, I got coffee from my husband. Nice coffee for Mother's Day. And finally, I had to say, this is grocery shopping. Okay. I can just go buy my own groceries. I know it's the thought that counts, but I'm done. I'm over the coffee as a gift. So I feel the same way about ham. All right. And speaking of ham and food. Okay, so Pat on our Facebook page said that she saw a documentary called City of Gold, and it's about our Pulitzer Prize-winning restaurant critic Jonathan Gold here in Los Angeles. And it was meant to be a very good documentary. Pat said it made her really hungry and gave her a new appreciation for L.A. Thank you, Pat. We appreciate it. And I said, Pat, I have this funny Jonathan Gold story. Do you remember a couple years ago when I mentioned that we went to this literary event in Pasadena, and it was to raise money for Lit Fest Pasadena, and it was on a Tuesday night, like a rainy Tuesday night, and part of like the readings, the poetry, the grooviness was grown men like reading their poems and their essays while young nubile women took off their clothes and danced around them? Do you remember? You remember
when I do remember
like how shocking this was in Pasadena, like shocking and wildly inappropriate. And like just sad, just overall sad. Well, Pat, now that you've seen Jonathan Gold, I mean, he looks like a bigger, hairier, fatter, Jerry Garcia is the only way I just would describe him.
Whoa, that's
and he generally like he wears like tie-dyed shirts all the time. So he was reading like a 2,000 word essay, which takes a long time to read, about food. Okay, in his full Jerry Garcia look, while this naked girl danced around him, and it was just so uncomfortable for all involved, and yet said so much about that generation of like Berkeley / Woodstock men. Like, that's what they think
of themselves.
It was like
Hair. It's like he was reliving the musical Hair. Like,
Liz, summer is coming up, and you know what that means? It means you're grilling and chilling there with your butcher box. What do you got going on the grill this summer?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Because I'm going to be up in Bend for a part of the summer, yeah, I'm having my box sent there, Leanne.
That's great.
Go on vacation with your butcher box is what I'm recommending. Yeah, either way, you're just going to buy meat and fish and stuff when you get there. Why do that? Anyway, I love their steaks. I love their scallops. The scallops are really good. And the chicken thighs, all good. I'm ready.
That's right. ButcherBox gives you peace of mind and easy to find high quality meat and seafood you can trust. It's 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork that's raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. No antibiotics or added hormones. And as Liz said, delivered right to your doorstep. And you can customize that delivery plan, Liz, right? Because it can go wherever you want it to go, whenever you want it to go. If you want to delay it a week, you know, speed it up a week, you just go to your ButcherBox account and you can make that all happen.
It's so easy to manage online.
Yeah. And if you're like Liz, you can take your ButcherBox on vacation, which is... That's nice to have something familiar there.
Yes.
So if you want to take your meat on vacation, sign up at butcherbox.com/sisters and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off. So you can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/sisters and use code SISTERS to choose your free for a year offer, plus get $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox. Liz and Leanne here, and we are so grateful to have Osea support Satellite Sisters. Why? Because it's just a great product. Holy cow, do we love Osea's skin and body care. And you know what? This Mother's Day, just look no further than Osea. Spoil the moms in your life with the little luxuries from Osea. The moms, the stepmoms, the bonus moms, the people who bring a touch of something special to your life, aunts, grandmothers, they would love a little Osea this Mother's Day. And you can get 10% off your first order by using our code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And Liz, you know what every mother and mother figure needs?
What?
More moisture, Liz. They need more moisture in their skin.
No kidding. I mean, really, the creams, the lotions, the oils, I love it all. That duo they have going. Oh. Like, you can't miss with the duo of Osea.
Liz, the mega moisture duo.
Yes.
You can literally see your skin get firmer. And it just delivers this full body glow. Okay, you know we have raved about the Undaria algae body oil. Mm-hmm. Well, pair that with the Undaria collagen body oil. Youthful, yeah. Liz, a youthful yeah. glow is going to happen. And it's infused with Osea's signature Undaria seaweed. So it just smells so delicious, doesn't it?
I know you're talking about giving it as a gift. I also suggest just giving it to yourself because you're worth it.
That's true. That is absolutely true. Okay, that moisture duo I mentioned too is a great value because you can save 16% plus the extra 10% with our code SADSISTERS. So this is it. This is a win-win-win Mother's Day gift. Spoil the moms in your life with clean vegan skincare and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And you get free samples in every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Osea is spelled O-S-E-A. So head on over to OseaMalibu.com and use code SATSISTERS for 10% off. Thanks, Osea.
But he was not like an attractive 30-year-old Jesus. Okay? That was not happening. I mean, it was just, even my husband was like, that was pathetic. So... I mean, it was just such a statement on where those men of the 60s feel like they deserve. And this, it went on. It was excruciating, is what I would say. So, Pat, there you go. That's my story. I told that story on the air 5 years ago, but I don't think I mentioned it was our Pulitzer Prize winning food critic, Jonathan Gull. So now every time I read his reviews in the LA Times, which are fantastic restaurant reviews, like you want to, he really makes food come alive. He is an extraordinary food writer. But all I can think of is that like writhing girl just has made me lose my appetite. So there you go, Pat. I hope I've ruined it for you now too. All right, we're off to our Outlander review. I just want to remind people of a couple things. I don't know if we'll be doing a show this weekend, Julie, speaking of Mother's Day.
It is Mother's
it's
Day.
It's Mother's Leah. Day, yeah.
Yes, yes. Do you have plans? You're going to have some festivities? Going to be brewing some coffee? No
yeah,
doubt,
you know,
and
I usually...
around in the new car.
I found that unless I specify, like, let's do something in the morning, like, things don't happen for a while. Yeah. So I have specified any activities must be done pre-noon because I don't like to wait till 6 o'clock at night to celebrate Mother's Day, right? It's a morning event.
Yes,
so I think there may be some brunch. And then I've just asked my sons to go with me to Pitch Perfect 2. That's my... Yeah. It opens the next weekend. I loved Pitch Perfect. I'm so psyched for Pitch Perfect 2. So I thought, just don't get me anything. Just don't make me go to the movie alone. And I just want to go. So, and last year when Brooks was on his gap year, we must have watched Pitch Perfect like 100 times together.
Well, that sounds like a lovely mother-son thing.
That's what we're doing. What are you doing?
Well, I'm going to be receiving phone calls and cards. You know, we've had two back-to-back big family weekends, both with our trip to Austin and then the first communion weekend. So I think this is going to be more low-key.
Good.
But again, I you know, I will be receiving cards and phone calls, again, in the morning hours. And of course, I think, you know, for us, for the Dolan sisters, we also, you know, having it's always a time that we think of our own mom who has passed. But it was also her birthday, always around Mother's Day. So I think I'm going to be spending some time thinking about mom, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Doing that. I know. Last week, it made me laugh, Julie. I was thinking, you sent Colin off to the prom, you know, and I was telling you about how lame he was, but ultimately, and all boys were. But ultimately, when he went to the prom, he looked good. He was in the suit. I bought a Banana Republic at the Goodwill in Connecticut. It had tailored to fit him. And then as he was going off, I noticed that he had some static cling on the bottom of his suit. And he was wearing, you know, those happy socks that the young kids like. There's the cute, colorful socks, which I think are really fun. I like that for boys. And it was the British flag were his socks, basically. But it was a static cling. So all of a sudden in my mind, I realized, oh, I have some static guard. And you know me, I don't buy things like that. Like, I don't exceed in laundry. I rarely...
You have many talents, Leanne. Many, many talents. But I don't think you have any interest in laundry.
No.
And or fabric care or anything like that.
No, I just don't. I can't explain it. But so I got out the static guard and I sprayed him and it worked. And he left and I'm standing there holding the bottle of static guard. And I realized, like, first of all, it looks like it's about 100 years old. And secondly, I realized this was mom's static guard. You know, when we cleaned out our parents' apartment, you have all these categories for things and some stuff goes to family members in the Goodwill and better antique stores and things like that. But I ended up with all her cleaning products and my laundry and her extensive collection of laundry products. So it's been 2.5 years since her death, but I still have like her bleach pen and things.
That's good, Leanne.
So I realized, mom was there for Colin the night of his prom. She was there. It would have been important to her that there was no static on his suit. And she made it. It's a static guard. Made me laugh thinking about it.
Way to go, Mom.
All right. Way to go. All right. We are going to talk about Outlander now. This is our recap. Sister Sasnatch is what we call it. We've been doing this for both seasons of Outlander. This week's episode was called The Watch.
Yeah.
And Julie, this week's episode was really a study in domesticity, wasn't it? You really got a sense of how cold and damp it must be to live in Scotland. Didn't you think, like, there were several moments throughout the episode where Claire's just standing there and you can read her mind, like, what the hell am I doing here? Why did I choose a world without central heating?
Yeah, I know. I know. There was a lot. It was a slow burning tension to this episode, Liam.
Yes, we had
but
two.
But of course, go ahead. I had to, like, I have a sort of a pre-Outlander prep, which is I have to turn the volume way up on my television set. And I sit very close to the TV because I find some of the accents very difficult to get some of the finer points of the dialogue, Leanne, unless I am very close to the TV and it's very loud. Okay.
Yeah. I think this week's episode in particular, it was called The Watch, and it was their dueling storylines. First of all, there was the Watch storyline, and just as best as we could make out, because Julie, I agree. I think the guy who was the head of the Watch, I understood maybe 30% of what
McCoy,
he said.
I think it's like McCoy. I was like, what? What are you talking about? And I couldn't understand any of McCoy's men. I didn't know what they were saying.
It is a problem. And so this is what I gleaned from the storyline of the Watch. Okay, this is basically a group of thieves that's marauding through the country of Scotland. They kind of appear to be sort of pseudo official, but they're really just thieves. And we've seen them before in season one of Outlander and earlier episodes, that they come and they demand payment and money and they burn people's farms and occasionally they kill people. They're not good guys, but they have some of the sympathy of the people because at least they're not British, is from what I could tell. So a group of men from the Watch show up. They are familiar with Jamie's brother-in-law, Ian, and it becomes to be known over the course of the episode that they now understand Jamie's past. He has a price on his head from the British. The Redcoats want him. And this group, the Watch, is just the sort of group that would turn him over for the money because that's the kind of guys they are. So they start to blackmail Jamie.
And that's the Irish guy.
The right? Irish guy, right.
Black. With another kind of accent.
Right.
You know, it's like the Holics, I think, was his
yes.
name. He's the blackmailer.
Yes.
You know? I was like, oh, brother, I couldn't get McCory. Now I got another guy.
Okay. Right. So he shows up. He blackmails Jamie. He's going to turn him over to the Watch. Jamie gives him all his money. He doesn't have very much money to give. He wants more money. Then Ian, the brother-in-law, comes and just stabs the blackmailer through the back, which was dramatic, really.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
You know, because we don't have any indication that they've both been soldiers, Jamie and Ian. But and he said, we haven't killed anyone since the war. And then in like 12 seconds, they're like, oh, well, let's bury him. But then it's clear that the head of the Watch also knows who Jamie is and then starts to kind of blackmail him. You've got to come out with us. We're about to rob these group of people. Chisholm, okay, the Chisholm clan is about to get robbed. And they want Jamie and Ian. They want Jamie on the team and Ian volunteers to go along. And the whole time you're thinking, why are you doing this? But he feels like he has to, because they promised not to turn him over to the British. And the head of the Watch makes this big deal. I would never turn you over to the British. I rotted in a British prison. I would never do that to you. But of course he does, because they're led right into a trap. And Jamie is taken by the Redcoats at the end of the episode.
Leanne, I have two questions about that whole trap thing.
Yeah.
First of all, do you think that the trap was set up by that Irish blackmailer, Holics, that he had tipped the British off to the fact that Jamie and these other bad guys were hanging out there?
Yes, I think the Irish guy that they killed ultimately did him in anyway. Yes,
okay.
I do.
Okay, that was my first question. The second question, I was wondering, Jamie had kind of a wistful look on his face when he decided to go ahead and ride along with McCory and his men. Do you think that was in any way because he had just learned the news from Claire that she might not be able to have children? And while he was very comforting to Claire about that in the moment, he also had a super sad look on his face.
Yes.
Like maybe, you know, why not go fight because, I'm not going to be able to have, you know, children.
I know. I thought that was a very tender scene, actually, when you know, he feels bad that he doesn't make enough money and she feels terrible. She didn't tell him that she believes she can't have children because she and her husband from another century. Let's not mention the time travel. She and Frank in 1940 tried to have children and they couldn't. And that was very tender. So, yes, he did seem to have this. Oh, it's great to be out on a ride in the freezing rain. And, you know, I can't come. Then the leader of the watch mentioned several countries that I couldn't understand.
Okay.
We could go here and here and here. I don't know what you're saying. Right?
Subtitles would be very helpful. That's I would be in favor of that. Okay.
I mean, I didn't know what that guy was saying, and I have good ears. I can usually
I know.
Everything. I really was having a hard time with that guy. So it was very wistful. But then our other storyline, Julie, is the birth. So that's why we have childbirth going on. We have Jenny, Jamie's sister, goes into labor. And of course, the midwife has been called away. Claire's got to jump in. And the two of them have kind of like a prickly relationship. It's not, you know, it's not super warm and sunny. It's friendly, but all of a sudden they're going into this very personal, very difficult situation. The baby is breech, of course, because that's the law in literature. It's never an easy birth. But again,
when Claire started to manipulate Jenny to turn the fetus around, I thought I was going to go into Braxton Hicks contractions. Okay. Because in my mind, I was thinking, oh no, this is going to be what this episode is about. They're going to show us the whole bloody thing. Okay. We are going to see the childbirth because this is the Stars Network, and every other episode of Outlander, I have been knocked to the floor by what I've seen. So I was just totally prepared for a very graphic birth.
Yeah, that's true. Julie, last week we had the full-on wiener shot. And this week we did get to see the pregnant woman's bum. Like she was doing some natural childbirth there. She was standing up, down, on her knees, squatting from behind. I thought that was a weird position that she finally gave birth in. But
I know, but the crawling around on the floor in the castle, I guess that's childbirth Scottish style.
I know, the straw. Well, that looks comfortable.
Okay. Line of the episode is when Jenny says, pregnancy, no drop in the heather. Yeah, no, that's about right. That's about right. Whew.
So, but we do see a lovely bonding scene between the two sisters-in-law. You know, that at the end, Jenny gives Claire her mother's very unusual, like, bone bracelets that I think can be used as a weapon. That said... And I think
for a later episode. Yes. No, those were very high style.
Yes.
And I love it that she had a big belt of scotch before the contractions got really strong. So that was
good. Do you blame her? I mean, honestly, I mean, really, it is extraordinary when you think about childbirth without any kind of pain medication intervention, like how painful it was, painful enough, how painful that must have been. You know, even if you have natural childbirth here, you're getting usually some fluids and stuff. You're getting a little of something somewhere along the line.
You're
or
not
afterwards.
Crawling around on a stone floor.
Yeah.
With the hay.
But she delivered a healthy, beautiful baby girl named Margaret, Maggie. And clearly Claire had some longing there, was very interested in the little girl. And there was a scene where Jenny's like, oh, you'll have your own baby soon. But Jenny doesn't know that Claire believes she can't have children. And they're both waiting for their men to come home from the watch. And only Ian comes home. And that looked like quite a trip, hopping home. Because...
Yes, he did. I know. He only has the peg leg, and he lost the peg in the battle.
And so, the horse.
Yes, and his horse. No. Yeah, that was a long trip.
That was a long trip home for him. And Jamie, of course, has been captured by the Redcoats and taken back to, we presume, Jack Randall. So, I mean, those two cannot get a break, can they?
No, never. I mean, know. And But I will say, I really have come to like and respect Jenny as the character and as the sister. I think she seems like she'd be a good friend. I mean, she really stuck up for Jamie. You know, she described him as the cousin when these robbers first showed up at their place. And, you know, she really, she was a strong girl during that pregnancy and childbirth. I mean, she knew it was going to be rough. You know, she had to rely on her sister-in-law that she really didn't know that well, you know, and then she just did it, you know, so good for her. So I like Jenny. And
there was that very tender kiss goodbye that Jamie gave to Claire in like that magnificent backlit scene. Just really getting his jawline exactly right in the camera. Yes. This is exact right angle in the camera. That was a good scene. There was no swimming this week, sadly, but there was that backlit kiss. So that was totally worth it. But now what's going to happen? Now we're going to have to go back. There's going to be more threats. There's going to be more interaction with that creepy Jack Randall.
Well, I you know, Claire is going to, you know, she's going to go out looking for Jamie. She just has to, you know, so.
Well, she literally has nothing to lose. I mean, there is no heating in that house. There's no hot showers. Right. Like at this point.
Why stay?
Right? Why stay? So, I mean, did you see them doing the laundry? For God's sakes, that looks terrible.
Now, I wrote down laundry looks fun, exclamation marks, when I was watching it. But I did notice, Leanne, they had beautiful pewter tableware at Castle. You know, very nice table settings that even though the laundry was a little primitive, that they really could, their table settings were lovely for those robber marauder types. So,
okay. All right. So next week, I think there must just be a couple episodes left this season. But so next week, there's definitely going to be some action. Claire's going to go back in and get Jamie back, come hell or high water, apparently. So that looks good.
High water's good, Liam. That may mean Jamie will take a
swim. When they showed the wheel, the spinning mill wheel, I was like, oh, we're back at the mill pond. All right.
Hooray! I'm just so happy we didn't see, the actual breech birth, because that's
that is.
I was totally bracing myself for it, Leanne. I felt woozy.
All right. You can always find us at satellitesisters.com. We have two Facebook situations you can be a part of. The first is our page. You can just like our page. We post over there. And then the second is the Facebook group. You can ask to join. And, you know, if you're a real person with real friends, we will approve you willingly. We love having new people join the Facebook group. There's a lot happening over there. At Twitter, we're @SatSisters. I'm @LeanDolan, and Julie, you're @JulieDolanSmith. What else is going on? Anything? You have any big plans for the week, Jill?
No, I don't think so, Leanne. I think, I'm working on my Peru trip, going to Machu
Picchu. Oh, that's
right.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Trying to make the decision to Guinea or not to Guinea. So I'll be back in touch.
All right. We're the Satellite Sisters. Don't forget, call your satellite sister.